Hello everyone, and welcome to minute 29 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg classic Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and hopefully taking a little break from eating her turkey dinner or lunch or whatever time of day that she eats her turkey is Tierney Steele, also known as One Steele Sister.
Do we need to do an American custom review for you? All right.
No, why would you have to do that? I know it's not a turkey dinner. It's turkey after you do it in the afternoon. But some people do it late in the afternoon, so it could be considered a dinner.
It's turkey dinner.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm taking a break because I have a lot of thoughts on minute 29. I am ready to talk about Saving Private Ryan with you and have my mind blown and have questions.
All right. Excellent. That's why I want you here, Tierney. So minute 29 begins with a shot of a woman working and ends with another woman searching for a piece of paper. So this is actually I love this minute because it shows us one thing and the voiceover is completely different. So you have to it's as if you're really watching two different minutes at the same time. Because one of the ways of looking at this minute helps strengthen the other one by explaining to us what it is that's really going on here. I just love
confused.
The way that they do it.
So why are you still confused? You mean, because I don't see this as two different separate things.
No. Well, first of all, we have these women who are typing up letters. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we get a narration over that of different people reading parts of letters that are being sent. So there, it's a technique for them to explain to us on a deeper level what it is that these women are typing up and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they're taking the words of someone else, but we get to hear the voice of the person who's basically who has given them those words
for them
to type up. Them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. They are typing, these are the letters home for the fallen soldiers.
Yes.
And our heroine, I'm pretty sure this woman, because she's the only one credited as War Department clerk, or the only female credited as War Department clerk, is Valerie Colgan.
Yes.
Who mm-hmm. I didn't recognize from other things, but she was in Aliens, and she was actually in two different versions of Anna Green Gables. And she was in the TV miniseries Brideshead Revisited. So I know I've seen her before because I have seen those things. So I must know her, but I can't claim to have recognized her, but she is our hero of the rest of this week.
Yes, that's true because she was able to figure something out that nobody else was.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I'm sure you're going to go over these different letters and what's involved. Do you know what else I found looking at the cast listing for this? It's uncredited, but it's on IMDb.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
The,
one of the voices.
The uncredited
you can definitely
letter reader?
Yes. Yes. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
Hold that off.
Okay.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Gotcha. All right.
All right. So again, we basically, I'm going to quickly go through the dialogue from these nine different men who are giving us parts of letters, mm-hmm. and then we'll go back and go through what actually is going on during the minute.
Okay.
So the first man says, "Dear Mr. Brian Boyd, no doubt by now you have received full information." And then he gets cut off, and another voice says, "Dear Mrs. Jensen." And then we hear the first man once again say, there's overlap between them. The first one, then we hear him say, "Untimely death of your son." And then back to the second one, "No words of mine can ever relieve the grief." And then we hear a third man that says, "Our outfit has felt his loss tremendously." Then a fourth man, He was a fine soldier, and he believed very strongly in... And then that gets cut off, and the fifth man says, it's no secret anymore that we were involved in one of the most important operations of this war. And then it takes us back to the first man who was talking, and it goes, Al was the one who held us all together. He was always the first to volunteer. And then we move on to a sixth man who says, came to a clearing near a road where over 4,000 troops had passed. And then we get to another one. Your husband served in a combat unit whose dangerous duty is to place itself. And then that one gets cut off too. And then we have man number eight, which man number eight is our mystery voice, which says, which we all cherish and hold so dear. The loss of Lee and others like him is a distinct blow to the regiment. So this eighth voice is voiced by John DeLancey.
It's Q!
That's right. It is Q. You see, you can even take Q out of Star Trek and put him in Saving Private Ryan.
Made my day. What does it say now, about
you,
the universe?
Did you notice it? Did you notice the voice yourself? Or
no.
You just saw it on IMDb?
No, I saw it on IMDb when I was going through to make sure that I had the actress's name for this minute. And then I was like, wait a minute. And and what's really funny, I have not watched Star Trek in a while. And it was one of those things where I saw uncredited letter reader and I just read the name John DeLancey. And I was like, I feel like I know that name. And then the minute I clicked on the picture, I was like, oh my God.
And then did you listen then to the voiceover and you said, wow, that is cute.
Yeah. So I'm glad you were able to go through and figure out, you know, or not figure out, but like go through with who is, you know, the different names and the different letters. The idea is you're just this wall of sound of all these letters that are being written. And I wonder, usually this is a good spot for directors to put in little Easter eggs. You know, the names are people who worked on the movie, but I don't know. That might be a little too cutesy for Steven Spielberg making a serious film.
I don't think he would do that. And then we have one last man that gives a voiceover and says, I fully understand your desire to learn as much as possible regarding the circumstances leading to his death. So, again, just listening to these small snippets of these various letters that, you know, we throughout this entire thing, we're hearing the clickety-clack of typewriters, you know, and we see... You know, in a second, we'll start describing what you actually see here. But it's just amazing the, you know, each one of these letters needed in some ways to be a little unique. You know, you didn't want them to be exactly the same thing each time. You had to say something a little personal, you know, in order to make the family understand that you knew who this person was. You know, it wasn't... John showed up in our unit just yesterday and didn't follow our instructions and, you know,
and got shot within 2 seconds. You got to think of a nice way to say it.
That's my point. No, that's my point. You know, you can't say it that way. You know, it's a typical trope in most war movies where, you know, you have the new guy who doesn't listen to the instructions and, you know, doesn't make it past the first or second day, you know, that type of thing. I like the way that they give us, you know, an overview of the various types of things that could be part of a letter, you know, talking about sometimes it's a son, sometimes it's a spouse. Sometimes it's more formal than the other ones. You know, it jumps back and forth between them. And I like the way that they did it.
Oh, I was able to find it. At least I'm pretty sure there is an amazing, example of this in the episode of MASH. And I just pulled it up. It's gotta be, this seems right. Dear Sigmund, which is season 5, episode 7, where Colonel Potter has to, you know, write the letter home, someone's died, and he's like, oh, I never know what to say. And Radar, who was friends with him, writes the letter, but as if it was coming, so he's like, you know, your son also often talked with our company clerk, right? And at the end, he's like, you know, you can fix it up, you know, I just wrote something, and he goes, it's perfect, Radar. I won't change a word. And it's like, oh, it's such a good moment. But this minute reminded me of another episode before. It reminded me of a MASH episode, which, let's face it, everything can. Reminded me of one of the best worst episodes. I say worst because it made me cry so loud that I woke up my kids sleeping in the other room. The This Is Us episode, season 3, episode 4, titled Vietnam, which is the draft episode. And the last shot of this episode is, the whole thing is, one of the characters' brothers is born on one of the first days to be drafted into the Vietnam War. And it shows in flashbacks when he's being born. And then at the end of the episode, he's talking to the older brother. And then they play a song and they show all the boys born in that one maternity ward on that one day. And you know that they all get drafted, you know, 18 years later. Wow. And I cried so hard that my sleeping child woke up. Because I was wrecked by it. So if you feel like being wrecked, I recommend that one.
Okay. I will definitely check that out.
And this is kind of the same thing. It's that constant. It's just knowing how many pieces of paper are here in this scene. How many typewriters there are, the pile of papers next to each one.
Well, let's go back to what we talked about the other day about how many people, were killed at Normandy.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about Normandy. We're talking about, we're going to get into it a little bit tomorrow and also on Monday about where some of these people were killed. You know, they're talking about all the different theaters, not just the not just the European theater. We also have the Pacific theater and everything like that. So, you know, that says a lot about how much work there was for these women to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. So basically the way that the visual aspect of the minute works is, so they give us a panning shot of the entire room where there are tons and tons of women who are typing. Did you by any chance count how many people there were?
I did not. Did you?
Oh, come on. Why wouldn't you do that?
It's not my podcast.
Right. So basically they only show us 4 rows and we see that there are 4 on each row. So we only see 16 that are sitting at the desks
only,
or at the typewriters. Yes. But again, the impression that this shot gives us is that it is much larger. You know, that there's a lot of people in this room and they're just typing up these ledgers. Now, what's interesting to me is you don't see that they're looking at something else in order to be able to type up this letter. Like, where is their information coming from?
Oh, I thought when we see her looking off to the side, she's copying.
No, but if you look at all these women that as they're typing, you don't see that they're looking at something else. It's possible they are, but I'm just saying you don't see it.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, you know, where their information is from. It's not as if they have a handwritten letter next to them and they're using that.
That's what I thought. Because when we first see that woman and she's looking off to the side. Hang on. Sorry, I'm just looking through now. Because that's, like I said, that first shot, you mentioned, you know, we see the woman.
Yeah, oh, I completely see what you're talking about.
And then, our heroine, she looks off to the right before taking the paper out of the typewriter.
But we don't see what's on the right. We don't see that there is something there that she has, that she's copying it from.
No, but they have you can see the pile of, all right. So if you're looking at when she discovers the letter, because basically the person, Valerie Colgan, doesn't have a typewriter. She's, you know, addressing. She's collating. She's something like that.
She's their database.
Yeah. But the people who are typing type and then they look down to their left, which would be looking at the original letter.
Right. Okay. All right. That's fair.
And then they pass it off to these people.
Right.
So yeah, they would have and shout out to when there used to be typing classes, they would be able to type not looking at the keys. They are looking at the original and typing along, no problemo. Which actually, so I decided my book that I brought for today is newer. It's not from during the war. It's 2000. It's called The Women Who Wrote the War by Nancy Caldwell Sorrell, S-O-R-E-L. It is about the female journalists that covered World War II. So you could think of them as heroes. Sometimes they are very definitely not. It humanizes them quite a bit in this. But The Women Who Wrote the War include world-famous photojournalist Margaret Bourke White, the only Western photographer to cover the Nazi invasion of the USSR, writer Martha Gellhorn, wife of Ernest Hemingway and one of the first reporters to document the menace of fascism, Lee Miller, the legendary photographer who took a bath in Hitler's tub, and dozens more gutsy women whose devastating and heartwarming reports are captured in the seamless narrative that assures them at last their rightful place in history. Shout out to the women of World War II. And they all had typewriters, so that's what I got for this minute.
Okay. Now, if you look at second 17 in this minute, we actually can read one of the letters. Is placed on on a pile, and we can actually read what it says. So it says, present letter of confirmation, War Department, the Adjutant General's Office, Washington, D.C. Then on the top it says, Kavanaugh Lisa. June 1944, Mrs. Lisa Kavanaugh, 67 Carl Avenue, San Eleni, California. Not sure which San that really is. Dear Mrs. Kavanaugh, it is with regret that I am writing to confirm the recent telegram informing you of the death of your husband, Private Kevin Kavanaugh, 4623900, Infantry, who was killed in action on the 30th of May 1944 in New Guinea. So again, we're talking the Pacific this time. I fully understand your desire to learn as much as possible regarding the circumstances leading to his death. Recently, provisions were made whereby there will be sent directly to the emergency address of the next of kin a letter containing further information about each person who dies overseas in the service of our country. And if this letter has not already been received, it may be expected soon. I know the sorrow this message has brought you, and it is my hope that in time the knowledge of his heroic death and service to his country, it's hard to read what that actually were. Don't know. Untimely. Maybe in untimely death may be a sustaining comfort to you. Possible. That could be what that says there. The eventuate death? It looks like it says eventuate, but I don't know. I extend to you my deepest sympathy. Sincerely yours, J.A. Julio, Major General, the Adjutant General. So, interesting. I mean, it's interesting that they have that. It isn't as part of any of these
the voiceovers.
Number nine is there. Okay. It says, I fully understand your desire to learn as much as possible regarding the circumstances leading to his death.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking more of like, you would kind of fall into a pattern. Like not every letter is completely individualized.
No, of course not. Especially if they're typing up thousands of these. I mean, that's, that would be very difficult.
You would get the telegram from the War Department, this letter, which is confirming the telegram, and then you would receive the letter proper from Sergeant so-and-so, Kevin's best buddy.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, so just to quickly go, so this letter is addressed to Lisa Kavanaugh. So do you know what the name Lisa means?
No.
or the meaning of the name.
No, I did
it
not
means
research.
God's promise.
Okay.
And it is a name that gained popularity in the 1960s. And by 1974, it was the fifth most popular female name. And then a decade later, it was the 14th most popular female name. But in 1996, it had fallen out of the top 100.
Well, I wonder if that's the Lisa Simpson effect.
It very could be.
Because often when there's a popular fictional character, I mean, you'll get a little bit of a bump, but then people don't want their kid associated with a cartoon necessarily. Outfit, 96.
Yeah.
It's clear that that's not going away. I don't know.
Well, The Simpsons started, I think, in 89.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, okay. Hmm. You know, as we hear all this typing, so, you know, they our heroine is, you know, looking at looking at a letter that she was just given, reading it, and then she notices something, and she then goes through a bunch of other papers, and then looks through some papers on the side also, and ends up pulling out two different letters. I mean, we know now that there are letters, mm-hmm. and she then gets up and starts walking over to someone else with these two letters. And, you know, just starts going through a pile on her desk, you know, obviously showing that she is somewhat of a supervisor. You know, but it, I give the woman typing a lot of credit that it doesn't bother her that someone is, you know, going through her letters on the side as she's, you know, it doesn't interrupt her mm-hmm. typing, which one would assume that that's what would happen. I mean, I assume that if I'm doing something and someone comes next to me and starts rifling through papers, I'm going to look over. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. You know, saying, what are you looking for? Maybe I can help you find it.
Don't you know there's a war on?
Exactly. And so then, you know, this woman takes out a third letter and then starts to pick up the other two letters. And then the minute ends.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Nope.
Okay. So we will now get to our Thursday segment, which is a little game that I like to play. Okay. And this game is known as Say What Thursday. So the way this game works is that this movie has tons and tons of known actors from many different you know that some of them have very long careers. So what I decided to do is I'm going to every week pick three actors that you can that are the possibilities, and I'm going to give you a quote of a character that one of these three actors played in a different movie, and you have to try and guess what that movie is. I will give you the year of the movie, and I will give you the quote, and you have to try and guess the name of the actor. Okay, so for you the three choices will be. Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, or Jeremy Davies.
Okay.
Okay, so those are the only three that you need to choose from. You know, it would be too much if I were just to give you, you know, carte blanche, you know, every actor in this movie. So, you know, we're just going to leave it at these. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll start you off with an easy one. Okay, this is from a movie in 1992.
Okay.
And you have to tell me who is the actor that says, "Bullshit, you can all kiss my ass." That's right, kiss my big hairy ass.
I'm going to go with Tom Hanks. I don't think the others were acting in 1992.
And what movie would that be?
League of Their Own, when he's
yes,
waving his little hat.
That's right. I figured I'd lob you a softball at the beginning to make it a little easier. All right. The next one is a movie from 1996. Okay. The quote is, "The axis has gone vertical. Gone vertical. Suckers really gaining up strength."
Oh, okay. I just watched this the other day. That would be what's his name? Jeremy Davies, in Twister.
Excellent. That's great.
To be fair, I don't know that I would have gotten that if I hadn't just been watching. Because I still haven't seen Twister,
his
so I'm getting ready.
his character played by his character name is Lawrence.
Okay.
In that movie.
That I could not have told you. On a dare.
Okay.
I know that people had names in those movies other than the actors and Rabbit, but that's all I got.
Okay.
Aunt May.
Very good. Okay, that's fair. All right, here's another one for you. Here's the quote. Dear God, whose name I do not know, thank you for my life. I forgot how big. Thank you. Thank you for my life.
That is Tom Hanks and Joe versus the Volcano.
Yes. I purposely didn't tell you the year because I figured then you'd say that. You'd make the same comment you made before. Okay. The next one from 2001, Smash and Grab Job, huh?
2001. I don't know Jeremy Davies' career very well, I guess, because it's him or Matt Damon, but I do not know.
So would you like a lifeline?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. What kind of lifeline can I give you? This is a crime thriller.
I mean...
From 2001.
Yeah. When were the... Is that when, like, the Bourne movies were happening? Are those crime thrillers, though? I don't know.
All right. Let's think of another hint that I can give you that won't give it away completely. Okay. Scott Kahn is in this movie.
That does not help at all. I'm so sorry to tell you.
Casey Affleck is in this movie.
Well, it's probably Matt Damon then, but could not tell you the movie.
Carl Reiner is in this movie.
Oh! It's gotta be, Oh, God, he was in Ocean's 11, wasn't he? Yeah!
Yes, he was.
All right!
There you go.
So it's Ocean's 11. Oh, God, I don't remember his character name in that, though. As evidenced by the fact that I forgot he was in
Linus.
It until just recently.
his name is Linus. Linus.
Okay. Oh.
Okay, and the final one.
Hmm.
It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
Back to my Jimmy Dugan, Tom Hanks, and The League of Their Own.
Yes.
Which, it's really too bad.
Okay,
that
see?
Is a great quote, but if you are immature, it does not work out of context.
Nope. Nope. That is true. But it's... You know, I figured I'd give you some of your movies. Why not? Just to see how well the movies by minute, is ingrained along the way. All right. Excellent. So, Tierney, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Tierney Steele?
I thought you were going to ask if I would come back. I'm like, one more.
No, I don't want you back.
Doris in A League of Their Own. One more. People can find me at onesteelsister.com. It's got links to my podcast and links to my book that I wrote. And if you're wondering, gee whiz, why isn't Tierney doing 8 million podcasts at the same time anymore? I'm trying to write another one. And you know what's really hard? Writing a goddamn book. So that's where you can find me.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can send me an email at movierobminute@movierob.net. You can also find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. And you can find me on Instagram. So, Tierney, now I will ask you the question that you didn't want me to ask me, or that you were afraid I was going to ask before. Would you do you think that you will have enough energy after your Thanksgiving dinner tonight to come back again tomorrow?
Oh, a little peek behind the curtain. We record these ahead of time, so the tryptophan hasn't kicked in yet. Yeah.
All right.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Excellent. Okay, so until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn
this.
In my solitude, you haunt me with reveries of days gone by.